Les Misérables by Victor Hugo. At the beginning of October 1815, about an hour before sunset, a man travelling on foot entered the town of Digne. The few people who happened to be at their windows or doorways observed him with a vague misgiving. It would have been hard to find a traveller of a more disreputable aspect. He was a man of medium height, broad-shouldered and robust, who might have been in his late 40s. A cap with a low-leathered peak half hid his face. He wore threadbare trousers and a tattered grey jacket. On his back was a new and bulging soldier's knapsack, and he carried a very large knotted stick. His stockingless feet were in hobnail shoes, and his beard was long. He turned towards the town hall, which he entered, emerging from it a quarter of an hour later. The stranger then made for an inn, and entered by way of a kitchen which opened directly onto the street. All the cooking stoves were lighted, and a fire burned brightly in the hearth. The innkeeper, who was also the cook, was busy amongst his pots and pans.
"What can I do for you, monsieur?"
"A meal and a bed," said the stranger.
"By all means."
But at this moment the innkeeper turned his head. After glancing at the visitor, he added,
"Provided you can pay for it."
"I have money," said the stranger, producing a shabby leather purse from his jacket pocket.
"In that case, you're welcome."
The man returned the purse to his pocket, dropped his knapsack on the floor by the door, and keeping hold of his stick, seated himself on a low stool by the fire. While the stranger warmed himself, seated with his back turned to the room, the worthy innkeeper, Jacquin Labarre, got a pencil out of his pocket and tore a strip off a newspaper lying on a table by the window. He scribbled a line or two, folded the strip, and handed it to a youngster who appeared to serve him as a scullery boy and personal attendant. He murmured a few words, and the boy ran off in the direction of the town hall. The stranger had seen nothing of this. He asked,
"Will dinner soon be ready?"
"Quite soon," the innkeeper replied.
The boy returned with a scrap of paper, and the innkeeper unfolded it with the promptness of someone who has been anxious for a reply. He read the message with care, then nodded his head and stood for a moment reflecting. Finally, he went over to the stranger.
"I'm sorry, monsieur. I can't have you here."
"Why?
Are you afraid I shan't pay? Do you want me to pay in advance? I tell you, I've got the money." "It isn't that."
The words seemed to shake the stranger.
"But I'm dropping with hunger. I've been walking since daybreak. I've covered a dozen leagues. I must have something to eat."
The innkeeper bent over him and said in a deliberate tone,
"Get out."
The man rose, took up his knapsack, and left. He walked off, seemingly at random along the main street, keeping close to the house fronts, his attitude one of dejected humiliation. It was growing dark. He looked about him, seeking some shelter for the night. He came to the prison. A bell chain hung by the doorway, and he pulled it. A panel in the door slid back.
"Monsieur," said the man, removing his cap, "will you be so kind as to let me in and give me lodging for the night?"
"This is a prison, not an inn," said the voice of the doorkeeper. "If you want to be let in, you must get yourself arrested."
The panel closed. The stranger moved on into a narrow street, where there were a great many gardens, some enclosed only by hedges to give it a cheerful appearance. Night was closing in, and the cold alpine wind was blowing. By the last gleam of daylight, the stranger saw in one of the gardens flanking the lane a sort of hut, which looked as though it had been made of turfs. Clambering resolutely over a low wooden fence, he went to examine it. It had a very low, narrow doorway.